Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, we'll talk Cybertruck, flippers, an extreme Porsche Taycan and Nissan Ariya discounts. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you what the head of Polestar is saying about some of their competitors and their pulling back on EVs. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are listening around the world. It's EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Tuesday, 5th of March. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. I'm here to save your time, like a TLDR of everything in EV world in just 20 minutes. Now, we go live at 5 p.m. UK. That's midday Eastern with the full podcast. But Patreon supporters get those shows as soon as they're ready and ad-free. Be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. We'll start with news of the extreme Porsche Taycan with high-performance racing features. They're set to unveil a new track-focused version later this month following an impressive Nürburgring run of 7 minutes and 7 seconds earlier this year. Now, this teaser image that we've seen hints at a very muscular body kit with a big, deep front splitter, race car style rear wing, really is a big old wing strapped on the back, and some large wheels, some enhanced brakes as well. Specific details about the powertrain and even what it's called remain undisclosed. We'll find out next week, but I mean, odds on Taycan Turbo GT. Well, this high-power Taycan variant will outperform cars like the Tesla Model S Plaid and even the previous Taycan Turbo S on the Nürburgring lap times, which really is just some willy-waving at the end of the day, but still, car makers do it, and there's a certain fanboydom bit of the internet which will rank their favourite cars by Nürburgring runs. But either way, Porsche plans to officially unveil the new Taycan model online March the 11th, 2 p.m. European time, so early morning for my US listeners and viewers. Link in the show notes if you'd like to see more of that car. All right, moving on, and Volkswagen is halting their EV assembly on one of their lines because of a problem with their spicy new high-performance motors, temporarily stopping EV production in Emden and on line 2 at Zwickau because of a shortage of drive systems impacting the manufacture of ID4, 5, Q4 Audi and Q4 Sportback Audi e-trons. Well, it's being put down to a disruption in the supply chain. The AP550 drive units at their where they're made as the reason for the shortage. The bottleneck has led to a pause in the line until, according to two sources that I found today, and I can't do much better than two sources, December the 1st. Now, that's not much of a temporary disruption, is it? I thought it was a typo to begin with, so I went and found a second source. Now, this is from Electrive, a very highly regarded, very accurate European EV website, and I think they're in Germany. So these are German articles they're sourcing. So, wow, that's pretty much the whole year. Doesn't sound very temporary. I'm going to carry on looking into this story, and I'll offer a correction tomorrow if I need to. It affects 1,000 employees out of a total of 8,000. Now, Emden's production halt will last just 5 days, including the weekend, in an effort to prioritise the supply for the new VW ID7's production ramp-up. Production at Zwickau's Line 1, responsible for VW's ID3 and the Cupra Born, remains unaffected because I think they use the older motors, don't they? So look, I'll put my sources, a link in the show notes if you'd like to find out more, and I'll carry on looking into this one. All right, staying with Volkswagen Group, introducing their J3400 to CCS1 adapter for its electric vehicles no later than 2025, enabling charging at Tesla superchargers, although by the end of the year, the J3400 plug is going to be in many more places than just superchargers. The announcement made in late 2023, VW were very, very much late to the bandwagon. It was the polar opposite of Ford, who took a punt on what was then known as the NACS connector. Now, Tesla renamed what was the Tesla connector to the North American Charging Standard, and then nobody did anything with it for quite a long time, so the NACS name really didn't mean too much. In the meantime, the standards body then got hold of it, took NACS, did some extra things to it, kind of enhanced it a little bit, and moved NACS on. So it's now called J3400, and you'll see it called NACS in many places. I think some of the automotive journalists are kind of going to be catching up with that that phraseology and the accuracy of it. But the J3400 connector, which is no longer a Tesla thing, it's off onto a life of its own as a standard now. VW will get their connector out by the end of the year. Ford, of course, already have theirs launched, but it'll be a couple of months before those customers get theirs for free, by the way. Next, we think General Motors, and then Rivian, Polestar, and Volvo in the US will get their J3400 to CCS1 connectors. Now, it's important sometimes to realize that the connector, the J3400 connector, is separate to supercharger access. Now, supercharger access is just game-changing for so many people that want to do road trips, because the stalls are often, there's more of them, they're more reliable, and the pricing can be pretty good if you'd use the Tesla membership as well. So don't get those two things confused, because the Tesla side requires the cars to be updated, and also Tesla superchargers get an update as well, which they'll know what car is plugging into them, so you can't trick the system with at the minute, a non-Ford using the adapter. The delay to VW's rollout compared to its competitors is, I mean, just following it really chronologically and who announced and did the deals with Tesla over the times. That's why their supercharger access is later than most others. From 2026 onwards, of course, from next year, some cars get it in 25, but from 2026, it's a fair bet that pretty much all new EVs, certainly new Volkswagen Group EVs, will come with J3400 on their cars as standard. So that means they've sorted out the whole AC issue, because Ford just don't allow AC charging on their connector. But you are going to need to AC, because J3400 will AC charge. And so there's some work to do there in the background. Ford have just kind of ignored that, and they've just gone the DC fast charging adapter route for now. Of course, new Volkswagen cars, like all new cars in North America, will come with J3400. And the Porsche Taycan, we think, is going to be the first VW Group vehicle to feature at the integrated port when that updates in 2026. All right, next up, and it's Ford reporting nearly an 11% increase in their sales for February, propelled by... Let me check my notes here. This can't be right. This says propelled by an increase in electric vehicle sales. No, this can't be right, because we've all been told that EVs are not in demand anymore. But they are, because you need to ignore the mainstream headlines, because they're just doom-mongers or going for clicks. You see, EVs are doing very well, thank you very much. And once again, in February, Ford saw an increase. EV sales soaring by 80% compared to the same month previous year, reaching over 6,000 units. Hybrid deliveries up as well, 32% at 12,000 units. Sales of the all-electric F-150 Lightning up 93%, because I think that's year-on-year, February to February. But remember as well, there was a stop shipment of the F-150 Lightning and the combustion stuff early in February because of an undisclosed issue affecting deliveries. I believe that is all sorted, or at least they have a new design for the part that was affected. I think something to do with the lights, but I won't say too much in case I'm wrong. Probably am. In response to increasing demand, Ford plans to increase production of their hybrid trucks for now, with the Power Boost hybrid technology representing 1 in 5 retail orders for the F-150. Their customers do like their hybrid stuff, which is okay. We're on a journey. It hasn't got to be an overnight flip of a switch and everyone going all electric immediately. But good news there for Ford last month in February. Let's hope that continues. We've seen some discount in pricing of the F-150 Lightning and Mach-E as well, which make those incredibly attractive vehicles to buy. Link in the show notes to find out more. Let's talk EQV from Mercedes-Benz next, and the embargo lifted on the review, so they are all out. Having a look at the UK's Autocar magazine, they say the Mercedes-Benz EQV refreshed interior has been updated, replacing the original EQV design with the latest MBUX display, which does really freshen the interior, by the way, looking less like a kind of halfway house between combustion world with the binnacles and stuff, and much more like that new top-end Mercedes-Benz kind of big screen look. But this is in a people carrier. But you know, this isn't your everyday people carrier, the EQV. It's going to be done for, you know, airport runs and you know, nice hotels to have this to ferry people around. Comfort and luxury being emphasized even more so than the outgoing version all the way through the EQV. Even though back into the third row, lovely choice of materials, very spacious, lots of leg and headroom as well, and loads more room for luggage as well. Air suspension to ensure the ride is smooth. Now, the battery pack is the one thing that's unchanged, 90 kilowatt hours on a battery pack. So an improved range of this, but it's not going to be. It's a big old slab. And so it's, what was it on WLTP? 217 miles? Or maybe I'll double check on that. But either way, it's going to be outdone by the likes of the ID Buzz. But really, should we compare these? Because the Buzz is probably more for retail and for families, but this would be great for families as well. I mean, it's a £90,000 EQV that only charges at 110 kilowatts. So again, probably if you've got destination charging where you're going, or you're doing airport runs and you know that route and you can plan your journeys, it's going to work absolutely fine. But it will still charge very quickly when you need to. But the Buzz is going to be 170 kilowatts or so charging. So if you're doing a lot of road tripping and with the family, perhaps maybe that would be a better choice. Either way, positioned as an ideal electric MPV for, you know, VIP transport, city-based stuff. The EQV is fantastic. And then don't forget that soon we have the van.ea, it's a weird name, the van.ea platform for the medium and large vans coming. That's in 2026. So, I mean, this van isn't a placeholder so much, but if you want it, get it now. EQV looks fantastic. Otherwise, in 2026, there's going to be a whole new custom platform for this, which I think Mercedes-Benz will raise the game even more. Got some pictures in the show notes. If you'd like to see that, link below to find out more. All right, next, let's talk Renault 5. And last week, I told you about the Renault 5, the Geneva Motor Show being launched and some brilliant launch videos. Thomas on Autogefühl did a particularly brilliant one just because it was really funny, but just his German sense of humor was just fantastic. Of course, Johnny Smith's are always really good. Watch those YouTube videos and listen to this, because 50,000 orders have been secured ahead of launch, according to an Electrek article I found today, set for a May sales launch in Europe. The vehicle starts at €25,000, about $27,000. It's a European vehicle made for the city, manufactured in northern France. Compact little thing, this Renault 5, but I know I've owned two Renault Zoes, and small Renaults are really cool. Now, my Zoe's only AC charged, and we're a bit basic inside. I didn't own the newer Zoe with the DC charging. This looks lovely. I would happily have Renault 5 on my driveway as a two-car solution. I wouldn't sell the Polestar, of course. I'd keep the Polestar, but, you know, that and a Renault 5, a used Zoe is ultimate value now this is coming out. But either way, three electric motor options on this, 70, 90, or 110 kilowatts, paired with a 52 kilowatt-hour battery, WLTP range of 250 miles or 400 kilometers, a less powerful version with a smaller 40 kilowatt-hour battery, and 300 kilometers of range will be coming later this year. Oh, and this thing can tow as well. Renault 5 looks really cool and fantastic to hear. It's going down well with buyers. Okay, next let's talk battery recycling, because as you know, if you read the mainstream press and the EV haters, batteries only last a couple of years and they all go to landfill, don't they? And then never to be seen again. Yeah, right, not a single EV battery has ever been thrown away and never will be. Apart from second life and third life uses with the battery intact, then what about when we recycle them? Nissan, and in fact, all the car makers, all the OEMs, so many companies are thinking about recycling. Nissan are going to collaborate with the clean tech firm Ultium. Sorry, on a £30 million project aimed at recycling EV batteries here in the UK, supported by a £15 million grant from the Advanced Propulsion Centre. The collaboration focuses on a closed-loop battery supply chain aimed at recycling, reusing, and reselling batteries to reduce environmental impact. And one of the interesting things about the components and the core parts of an EV battery is that when you break them down and you recycle them and then you put them into new batteries, the more you refine them, the better they get. So a second life EV battery is even better than a first one. It blows the minds of the haters. Oh, they don't listen anyway. But the project's objectives include diminishing the carbon footprint of new batteries and lessening the UK's dependence on imported raw materials. Ultium and Nissan intend to reclaim metals from used leaf batteries as they come out of service. And manufacturing scraps, of course, that's a big deal, repurposing them to produce high nickel chemistry cathode active materials for future EV batteries. Staying with Nissan, let's talk Ariya. Nissan reducing the starting price of the Ariya in the US to $40,980. That's a $3,600 discount from the previous starting price. The cut applies to the Ariya's Engage trim with a 63 kilowatt hour battery pack, front wheel drive version. Go for the Big Daddy battery, 87 kilowatt hours, and the Venture Plus trim, and it's only $1,600 more, enhancing the range from 216 to 304 miles on that, and a price of $42,580. Other trims, including the Evolve Plus and the Empower Plus, benefit from price reductions as well. Go for the top tier one, the E4 Orse, as it's styled, but They want me to say e-force, don't they? 389 horsepower platinum version, and you get the full $6,000 price cut. But you're talking about a $56,000 Nissan Ariya, which is, I mean, you've really got to want the Nissan Ariya for that. It doesn't have the federal tax credit, of course, of $7,500, and you start to get into the territory of, and I hate to always compare it to a Model Y, but why would you not buy a Model Y? Unless, like I say, you really, really want the Ariya, or you really hate Teslas. Nissan announced the upcoming J3400 to CCS1 adapter for the Ariya, allowing access to begin with to Tesla's supercharging network. But of course, ultimately, any charger maker can now put J3400 on their technology. So we'll begin to see it now, and that will be the standard in North America before it becomes standard on the side of their vehicles in 2025. Link in the show notes for a full breakdown of those prices if I didn't make any sense giving you all the numbers. Let's talk Polestar next, and well, a subject now close to my heart as a 6-week owner of the Polestar 2 and utterly loving that vehicle, by the way. Thomas Ingenlath, the CEO of Polestar, is highlighting the risk that other automakers he thinks are facing by delaying any commitment to electric vehicles, says the CEO of an only electric vehicle maker. Yes, it's not lost on me. But he emphasizes the importance of embracing innovations in EV drivetrains, battery technology, modern electronics and software to stay competitive, and arguing that if you wait for the market to adjust, if you do the Toyota thing, which is to say, we're going to do what the market wants, and we've asked our customers and they don't want EVs. And besides, Toyota haven't got any decent battery technology of their own because the solid state stuff is always just a couple of years away and has been for 20 years. But that's Toyota's model, which is we're just going to wait. There's nothing wrong with combustion stuff. We're going to spew out emissions because that's what our customers want. The other way of doing it, of course, is to say we think we can see a better, brighter, cleaner future, and maybe we need some help to get there in incentives and policies and things like that from the lawmakers around the world. But Ingenlath saying that if you wait for the consumer, sometimes you need to lead the way and show them the bright new world, and saying the likes of Mercedes, Ford, Aston Martin recently delaying their project, although by a year, which is fine, potentially missing out on the transition to electric mobility. And we've seen that from the South Koreans, actually. They have been unwavering. Now, they are combustion makers that are going EV, so it's different to the Polestars and the Teslas and Rivians and Lucids of the world, because they're still making money from the combustion stuff, but the South Koreans are going headlong into EVs, and they are massively benefiting with the market share in the US and around the world as well. Despite a general slowdown in EV demand, Polestar has not felt the impact, he says, thanks to strong interest from the new models coming out, 3, 4, and later this year, Polestar 5. Link in the show notes to find out more. Let's talk BMW and batteries next, and BMW establishing a battery assembly facility in Thailand. I didn't realise they had a facility there making vehicles, or if I did, I'd forgotten about it, but they do, and they support the EVs and plug-in hybrids that'll go into production in 2025 there. It covers 4,000 square metres dedicated to assembling modules from imported cells for BMW's fifth-gen batteries. Now, the next generation, sixth-gen, and moving on, BMW are going cylindrical, and they're going, if not 4680, then 46 XX, that form factor, those dimensions. However, these cells will go into other vehicles, not the Neue Klasse BMWs. An investment of $42 million allocated for the project, and it currently makes around 20 models there in Thailand for BMW Mini and BMW Motorrad. They make bikes there as well. So that's fantastic news. More great battery news coming in from around the world. All right, Range Rover next, and going electric with the Range Rover Velar, debuting with what is a bit of a different design to the outgoing model. A prototype for the first all-electric one, the successor to the Velar, has been spotted in testing. It'll maintain its kind of sleek, low profile, similar to the current model, but distinguish itself from the more traditional high-riding flagship Range Rover. So perhaps you're looking for a slightly more modern styling of this, or something a little bit lower, a little bit sleeker, but maybe it could incorporate a third row. From looking at the pictures here of it testing, production of the electric Velar could start as early as this year, marking a significant update since its initial release since 2017. It does need to be rested now, the combustion version of that, and move into an electric world. Of course, it'll emphasize luxury SUV characteristics, with Jaguar Land Rover strategy to define their main model lines. So you've got Jag, Discovery, Defender, and Range Rover, all distinct brands with different philosophies in electric world. They've been late to the party, but I think they're going to catch up, and we can't wait to drive those first electric Range Rovers. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about Cybertrucks being flipped for crazy money and what I think it might be a slight mistake. Stick around back in a second. All right, next, let's talk about Li Auto launching the Mega MPV production. I mentioned this last week. This is a people carrier with sort of captain seats in the back, big fold-down screen so you can get the movie experience. Got a fridge and a heater to heat up food inside it. It's like being on a bullet train, but it's a people carrier. The Li Auto Mega enters the market in the max trim level that costs an equivalent of $77,000. So it's real pretty. Premium stuff in China, but it's a very premium vehicle. And as I told you last week, it charges at 500 kilowatts as well. So it adds about 300 miles of range in 12 to 13 minutes with the CATL battery inside it. Yeah, you heard me correctly. That thing charges like an utter beast. And it's now in production. All right, let's talk about Cybertrucks being flipped then, should we? This made me smile. A Porsche dealership in Florida acquired a Cybertruck for $244,000 at Manheim Auctions in February, and it's now listing it for sale at $289,999, because the $1 makes all the difference from $290,000, doesn't it? It's a $46,000 markup, which is nice if they can get that money. The sale marks the first instance of a Cybertruck being sold at a used car auction. As noted by industry analysts, Tesla have a contract in place with those early buyers to say you can't sell your Cybertruck, or you have to give us first, you know, if you need to, if you need the money and a relative has a medical problem and you've got to sell your Cybertruck, Tesla want first dibs at buying it back. And if you do break that contract, it's a $50,000 fine. Now, let's face it, if you sold your Cybertruck at auction for $244,000, which someone's done, they've made over $100,000, so they can afford, okay, well, I'll pay the $50 to Tesla and I still make some decent money on this. The Cybertruck Foundation Series is being offered on the Porsche South Orlando website. And I think, possibly, this is a mistake, but I'll give you my reasoning in a moment. The Cybertruck's original sticker price for the dual motor was $102,000. There's a high-spec tri-motor Cyber Beast costing an additional $20,000. And Cybertruck reservation holders have shared the pricing details on the orders on online forums. And this is a significant moment in Cybertruck story, because this happened, didn't it? This happened with the Hummer. And I get it. Early editions of the Hummer were sold for $200,000 upon their launch. And now you can get used ones well under 100K. And if you want a brand new Hummer, you can just go walk in and buy one on the lot. So it does change. Now, Car Gurus, the sales platform, listed 6 Foundation Series pickups for sale, including the ones ended up at Porsche South Orlando. Another one went for $260,000, sold by, or it was on Driving Emotions, a used car dealer in Lake Park, Florida. So I think they have misread the room here. And look, I'm probably wrong, because something car dealers are pretty good at is making money. And so, hey, I'm probably missing something here. But I think EV world has moved on in that time. And I don't think retail buyers are going to spend $260,000, $280,000 on a Cybertruck. Now, I know somebody who gets their Cybertruck this week who certainly didn't order in the first 5 seconds. They were late to the party. And I won't say who his, but they're well known and they're online. And they've got one because they said, oh, I'll pay the extra $20,000 for the Cyber Beast. And so they skipped some of the queue. Like I said, they didn't reserve in the first minute. So there's people definitely, if you go chronologically, then they're ahead of them. If you are Pharrell Williams or Lady Gaga and you want to drive around in the Cybertruck, you absolutely can get one. So I think the way that Tesla works is you'd probably have to pay. I think their people call Elon's people. And I think, you don't get one for free, like happens with some car companies. It's like Ferrari. There's no free Ferraris, but I think you could get one if you're a celebrity. And there's other ways of getting a Cybertruck as well. But I just don't think there is that heat around this vehicle. It's not to say it's a bad vehicle. It's just EV world has kind of has moved on. And lots of people do want one. But because the Cybertruck came late, there was anticipation. When it finally arrived, it was a letdown in terms of it didn't, you can't deny, the biggest Tesla fan can't deny, it doesn't do the range and it hasn't got the performance for the prices we were promised. Now, that's Tesla's fault because they waited so long to bring the vehicle to market. And they say, well, the world changed, interest rates changed, economy changed, inflation changed. But that's your fault, you waited so long, Tesla. So you can't blame, you can't release some speculative specs and then when it comes to it, go, oh, it's not really our fault. Well, you could have waited till the product was developed and then released it like everybody else. You did the Tesla thing and it beat you on the bum this time. So there's a lot of people let down by the Cybertruck and a lot of people who reserve think, oh, 40 grand vehicle. It's never going to be that. So, which the Model 3 was. It genuinely hit its targets, although, no, but it did. No, it generally did. And so I think it's interesting. I don't think there's a big queue. There are certainly some other companies. There are some parts makers, some OEMs. But for them, $200,000-$300,000 it's a rounding error. It's money down the back of the sofa. And they'll buy this just out of curiosity to have a look at Etherloop and the design of the thing. So I'm not sure it's going to fly off the lot. Like I say, those original owners have made their money, even if they've got to give $50,000 to Tesla. And ultimately, they'll probably sell. And also, let me just get on top of my high horse here. This is a cool vehicle. And you got yours first. Don't sell it. Come on, people. You got a really cool, groundbreaking, great bit of EV history. Don't flip it for money. Anyway, I'll get off my high horse now. This is kind of funny, talking about being on my high horse. I'll quickly mention, by the way, a Tesla Cybertruck, the driver is okay, over the weekend on Sunday night, crashed in Los Angeles into the sign of the infamous Beverly Hills Hotel. It was the first day they had the Cybertruck, and I saw initial reports over the weekend. They blamed it on the valet. Even Elon Musk weighed in and went, well, it's a very powerful vehicle. The valet probably got overwhelmed with it. Never missing a trick, does Mr. Musk, does he, to boast about the performance of his vehicles. But it turned out it wasn't the valet, it was the owner. I think if I was the hotel, I'd be a bit annoyed about disparaging my excellent valet service. Either way, there's a lawsuit waiting to happen. It wasn't. It was the driver, and they plowed over a concrete wall and wrote the thing off, and the front end is hanging off and all sorts. Anyway, they're fine. That's good. Finally, this story made me smile because it's ridiculous. Remember those lawyers who successfully challenged Elon Musk's $56 billion payday at Tesla? They're now seeking a $6 billion payday for doing their legal job. Now, I read this and thought, that's probably about right. I mean, lawyers are spending lots of money and they're highly paid and they probably had lots of researchers and it took several years and it was $6 billion? I thought it was $6 million when I first read it. I thought $6 million's a lot of money, but you can probably justify that in a law firm and partner. $6 billion? They're going to go to the judge and ask for a $6 billion payday. The Delaware Court of Chancery for this unprecedented event, which they did, which challenged Elon Musk's package legally, they justified their fee by saying that the hourly rate only works out at $288,000 per hour. Anyway, all madness, all madness in the world of general Elon Musk news. I hope the judge looks at that and says, change the B to an M and we'll talk. Right, link in the show notes if you'd like to find out more. And that's your podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to skip the ads, if you're listening to the podcast version, if you're not, if you're doing this on YouTube, you should listen to the audio version when you're out and about and you're walking the dog and at the gym and things like that and driving. So subscribe to EV News Daily on all your audio platforms where you get your podcasts. Get the ad-free version on Patreon. That is patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. A daily thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Island YouTube channel, Octopus, Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map, and Lease Plan Electric Moments. All the tools and guidance EV drivers need. Have a good and tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.